refreshing wild cherry cola meets smooth cream. The treat you deserve. Pepsi Wild Cherry and Cream. Treat yourself.
From 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's time for baseball.
The pitch to Judge, swung on and hit in the air to deep right. It is gone.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Today's guests: TNT college basketball analyst Jamal Mashburn, senior writer for the MMQB Albert Breer, author Dave Ogleton. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. For those listening, I'm wearing an outstanding French blue button-down shirt. I say button-down. Some people go button-up.
Oh, yeah, good quote.
I'm a button-down guy.
Good point there.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial if you dare come in my direction, because I'm wearing such a great French blue shirt. It's the way I'm feeling today. I'm feeling good.
Looking good.
Feeling good.
You know what I mean?
Thank you very much, hey. Lewis. We've got Jamal Mashburn on this program. Pretty cool, huh?
Love that.
We got March Madness resuming tomorrow night. Hubert Davis has been told to leave his place of business. The North Carolina Tar Heels have basically said, we're done here.
Wow.
So Hubert Davis is out. There's lots of rumors coming out of Kansas. Is it official about Bill Self? There's a lot of rumors that he's going to step down after 23 years there, but I don't think there's anything official. We're awaiting word on that. But North Carolina's head coaching gig is open, and that might, cast a Carolina blue sky over the rest of this tournament, and because they're not going to hold back. There's also word that maybe they're going to be reaching out to the professional ranks to see if they can fill that spot, but that's the latest. Jamal Mashburn's going to join us. The pro day in Notre Dame went down yesterday. Jeremiah Love had his day, basically had it at the combine too. Ty Simpson's got his pro day today for Alabama.
Here we go.
Albert Breer is going to be joining us in hour number two of this program. And the dadfluencer, I have, as you know, the best dad ever sign here.
Sure.
Dave Ogleton, who's known as the top dadfluencer in all the land, he's got 6 kids. Good for him.
He's coming for that sign.
He's coming for the sign. Good thing this isn't the Philip Rivers show, otherwise he'd be dominated. He's coming in studio in hour number 3. And then there's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Have a great power rankings today. I'm going to power rank the best Super Bowls I have covered for the NFL Network, because 1 week from today, I will no longer be an NFL media or NFL employee after a 23-year run.
Dang.
So I'm going to be, I guess, if you were counting down the days, which is kind of crazy, till I become a full-time ESPN employee. Words I haven't said again in 23 years. Life is wild. It's crazy. And that's what's going down on today's show. And as I mentioned, 844-204-RICH is the usual number to dial, whether you're listening to us on terrestrial radio, Sirius XM, or watching us on various ESPN Disney-owned streams. How are you, Christopher Brockman?
Rich,
what's going on?
Excellent. How are you, my
Table's
friend?
Completely set. Took me 4 minutes to do it, but I don't care.
Attaboy.
What's up, Jason Feller? How are you?
Loving your shirt.
I appreciate you saying that.
You are welcome.
Right back at you.
Oh, thanks.
Okay. Well, I mean, it is Rich.
Yeah.
You're like Del Tufo. You're showing up in a Dodger hat and Rich Eisen show gear. So good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. What's going on?
Well, just to piggyback on what you said earlier, mm-hmm. did you know that button-down shirts are generally more casual, whereas button-ups can range from formal to casual? So maybe that's the difference.
Did you Google that?
I did.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. And also, all button-downs are button-ups, but not all button-ups are button.
All I know is I look great, but I appreciate the background information.
Yeah, just in
did
case.
You know buttons go the other way for women?
I did know that.
I did know that, too. That's a European thing.
I also have to sit up straighter.
Like Susie?
I keep leaning on my right side, and it's causing all sorts of problems.
Got a little twinge back there?
Let me tell you.
Belly's got a back guy.
Hey, I do. It's baseball's opening day.
Let's go.
Yeah, more importantly.
It's opening day for Major League
Excited.
Baseball. And the Yankees and Giants open tonight. Our friends at Netflix are the ones who have it. So there's that. Yankees, Giants tonight. First pitch, 5:00 Pacific in San Francisco, California. And I'm fired up. I'm pumped up. I almost said I'm pumped up.
Fired
pumped up.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
That I just came up with a word?
I think you did.
I think we just Rich Eisen show new word.
Yeah.
I'm fumped up, man. This is great.
It's fumping great.
I'm front loading the angst and disappointment.
Oh, you're going to be disappointed this year.
You think so, huh?
Yeah, of course.
You've already given up hope?
Yeah.
I've not given up hope. As you know, I think we had a last longer competition that we sparked here yesterday. And you didn't even take your Mets. You took the Yankees.
Well, I don't want to put any added pressure on us. So
okay. That's so lame, by the way.
By the way, did you see the Yankees put out a hype video? Because they're fumped up too, I guess.
Fumped up.
And I'm not part of, say that part of the video from last year was Max Fried throwing one of his midnight to six curveballs and got Soto looking. And Soto responded on it that he's living rent-free.
I got to say,
he's living rent free.
Team Soto here. You don't stop talking about that guy.
Well, because he
lives rent free in your head.
No. Living rent free in my head is me talking about him still because he's performing so well.
Well,
elsewhere.
That he was.
He was awesome last year.
For 2 months, he was beyond terrible. And as a matter of fact, you know, what's living rent free in his head in those first 2 months of the season was Aaron Judge. Not being the guy hitting behind him to the point where it created a big time kerfuffle and back pages in New York. But be that as it may, there's one team in the American League that baseball chose to put on a new stage and a big stage, an opening day stage on the new stage on Netflix. So there's that tonight. And I have a top five list.
San Francisco Giants.
I said American League.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, just listen when I talk. That'd be great.
Blinded by your shirt.
That'd be great. I have a top five list here. Top five things I'm looking forward to seeing the most this Major League Baseball season.
Oh.
Hit it, please.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
All right, here are my top five things I'm looking forward to seeing the most this MLB season, presented by our friends at Hyundai. All right, number five right here to kick things off, or I guess my first pitch here. Who is the baseball Cinderella? We are seeing it more often than not, where I understand there are probably, what would you say, a third of the league's fan bases are like, yeah, we got no shot.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe more.
But you never know anymore, okay? At this point last year, if I said the team that was going to take the Los Angeles Dodgers to the brink would be the Toronto Blue Jays, you'd have been like, really? You know, there's every year somebody, like the Texas Rangers won the World Series a couple years ago, all right? I mean, one never knows anymore. I mean, we're assuming there's going to be a bunch of the familiar faces and subjects at the end of the day. But who's it going to be? Could it be the Diamondbacks this year? And I only say that because I saw them at Craig's last night. About eight of them. All of them sitting right there. And they looked like they're having fun. They're ready to roll. Arenado and Carroll, whatever. Could be the Royal. Could be our Royals. Our Vinny and
Royals
Bobby
are
Witt.
Kind of a sneaky pick right now.
All right, Garcia. Yeah. I mean, they had a great World Baseball Classic.
It did.
Okay, could the Royals do something here?
Caglione,
maybe. All right, and I'm saying that even, and I'm not just trying to, cater to Vinny Pasquantino. Because I know he's unboxing his new television right now. He's probably not hearing what I'm saying. Just texted that to me. And us as the group. The Tigers, the Mariners last year, the Big Dumper went on a nice run. Scooble, as we all know, has 200 million reasons to pitch very well this year. Who's the baseball Cinderella for this baseball season? That's number five on my list. Could it possibly be number four? Because number four is a simple one. Paul Skeens, everything Paul Skeens.
Yep.
Every last pitch.
Agreed.
Every last move. Every last post by either Skeens or Livy Dunn. Anything that I know I am. I know you are, TJ. I know you are, Chris. And I know you are, Jason Feller, as well, even though I don't know how the hell they could... Well,
what do you mean?
Maybe he could maybe he could defer 99% of his salary too. I don't know, but we're all looking at just how happy he is. Because also take a look at this right here. Look at all these photographs of him pitching in front of empty seats. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's still a while until he can pop free. But one never knows. Everything Paul Skeens, every start, every pitch, all of it. I just can't wait to see potentially just how dominant he might be at the end of the day. Number three on the list, this is for me, but we are everywhere. You know, whenever I travel, I see the Yankee hats everywhere. Number three is, will this be the year it all clicks for the Yankees? I just don't know.
Nah.
I don't know. Right now, Cole and Rodon are hurt.
Yep.
Luis Gil is apparently starting in the minors, maybe just because they don't have, They don't need him right now. Let's get him some innings where he's going to be. Can Judge actually do it again? And then will they get to the postseason? We assume they will. And then what happens when that happens? Who the hell is going to get on base for Judge at the top of the order? Aaron Boone, can he get it all clicking? They have a very good team. Can it be great? Can they get back to the World Series? Can they win it all? That's number three. Number two is obvious. Who can take down the Dodgers?
Yep. Nobody.
I don't know about that. Harbaugh. I don't know about that.
What a way to replay away from losing last year.
Yeah, I know. A toenail. An IKF toenail.
Like, get a lead off third, bro.
Oh, my God. who's it going to be? Could be someone in the National League that just even prevents them from getting to the World Series again. Will we see a three-peat? Who can take down the Dodgers? Who can beat them? I mean, they just seem to get healthier and better. Healthier in terms of their pitching staff, better in terms of their hitting and lineup. Kyle Tucker's joined the team now. Just doesn't seem fair. And certainly everybody else in Los Angeles could care less that anybody else thinks it's unfair.
Accurate.
Christopher, are you ready for... When is that moment? Do we have it pinpointed during the season when Mookie Betts... is a more tenured Dodger than he ever was a Red Sox?
Oh, good question, man.
We looked that up, where that sort of Wilford Brimley line is going to be here, you know?
It's this year, which is kind of a...
It is. It's at some point this year, Betts will be a Dodger longer than he ever was a Red Sox.
Crazy. Like Vinatieri being a Colt longer than a Patriot.
Yeah, that's right. Or Holmgren being a Seahawk coach longer than he was a Packer. Yep. You being somebody older than Wilford Brimley was when he was in... Cocoon.
I'm still in my 40s, thank you.
Number one, without a doubt, the thing that I'm looking forward to seeing the most in this Major League Baseball season is the ABS system.
Oh,
how so does Chris. It affect things? Especially. What is going to happen when everybody's tapping their helmets, and who's going to tap it first, and who's going to tap it from the mound and piss off the hitters saying you just used one of my ABS challenges because I see the plate better than you do 60 feet, 6 inches away. I'm right on top of the damn thing. Who's going to use it early and then you don't have it late anymore? Who's just going to use it at all? How accurate is it going to be for hitters to use? What's going to happen in the ninth inning? Game over. Strike three. Wait a minute. Tapping the helmet. Nope. Game's still going. Home run. What's going to happen when it's bases loaded? Tie game. What's going to be a walk-off ABS moment? These are all going to happen. Just again, the World Baseball Classic had it at it. There was a man on third with two outs. Mason Miller gets strike three. If there was an ABS, it would have been men on first and third, and no celebration for Team USA until maybe the next hitter or whatever. That was against the Dominican Republic, if you recall. It's going to happen. It's going to go down. And how will you like it? Will you be sitting there saying, I wish it was the old days. We don't have this stuff. Or you'll be like, thank goodness for it. It's going to be great to see what the fan and player and coaches and managers and umpire reactions and analysts reactions. It's going to be a thing. And that's number one on the top five things I'm looking forward to seeing most this
year.
All right.
Oh. All right. We'll get one more.
I'll give you one more right here. And it's another simple one. The season itself, because winter is coming. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy.
I know, but it's looming. It's kind of a cloud hanging over.
Some
everything.
Teams are going to want a salary cap. Some teams who are in baseball are looking at the Dodger payroll and saying, this is just not fair. And the Dodgers will probably be like, tough. And there's going to be the problem is there's going to be some discord within ownership. And if they're not united, how can they go to the union with a proposal? And if they ever go to the union with a proposal saying we want a hard cap like everybody else, then winter will arrive. I think it's just that simple. And I don't know how it's going to all play out at the end of the day, but all I'm basically saying is as I am getting set for baseball is enjoy every moment. I hope they don't do the stupid thing and kill what's gotten much better and much more enjoyable. And I can't wait for this Major League Baseball season. That's my top five things I'm looking forward to seeing the most this MLB season, presented by Hyundai. Get into the Hyundai Getaway sales event and get away with a deal so right, it almost feels wrong. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for details. 844-204-RICH is that number to dial. Jamal Mashburn is going to be joining us next. Kentucky Wildcat NBA All-Star and now a terrific college basketball analyst next.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it. And you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off and then silence. Days pass, weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? It feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message, because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts. O'Reilly Auto Parts can help take the guesswork out of your check engine, ABS, or maintenance light with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. O'Reilly Veriscan can identify the most likely problem with just one scan. If you need help, O'Reilly Auto Parts can recommend a shop for you. Don't ignore a check engine, ABS, or maintenance light. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. A free service exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If you're like me and my family, you're all about creating amazing memories while on vacation. And for me, many of those have involved a home we found on Airbnb. We had such great experiences that whenever we travel somewhere new, we always check Airbnb first to find a place that fits our needs. The homes we've stayed in, comfortable, safe, private. You feel like you're part of the community. After a long day of exploring or sitting on a beach, it really is nice to come back to a place you can call your own. Airbnb is also a great way, if you want, to earn some extra money while you're traveling or out of your house for an extended period of time. You can make your home work for you while you're away. Not as a full-time thing, not as some big production, just something that fits into trips you're already taking. You can use the money for that dream vacation or put that money towards that outdoor kitchen you always wanted. Hosting on Airbnb just feels smart. Your home may be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Jamal Mashburn here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience is joined. We're one big, happy streaming television and broadcast radio family right here. Dude, I'm really loving watching you play talk right now. Really, seriously, you're excellent at it. You really are. You make me smarter, and you're having fun, it seems. What do you think about when you're watching Rick Pitino doing what he's doing with St. John, since he was the guy who I imagine was the one who recruited you to Kentucky out of the Bronx?
Me and Coach Pitino's relationship goes all the way back to Providence when he was there. Actually, a gentleman at Cardinal Hayes, Darryl Walker, played for him at Providence. Coach Pitino started recruiting me when he saw me at five-star camp in Honesdale, New York, and he would give like individual instruction stuff. And then Herb Sendek took over. He was on that staff, and Billy Donovan and Tubby Smith. So I've been around some great coaches, but watching Coach Pitino, I'm not surprised at all. I think he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. And I had the fortune in the pros to play for another great coach in Pat Riley, similar but different. I would say Coach Pitino is more of a teacher and Pat Riley is more of the CEO of the club. But what Coach Pitino is doing with what he has is not typical in his style of play. Usually he has 3-point shooters. People forget that Coach Pitino ushered in the era of the 3-point shot when he was at Providence and then also at Kentucky as well. Their team is more physical, throw it up on the glass. Forward, Zubi Echefor, Mitchell and Hopkins. They don't shoot the three very well. And it's a little bit difficult for me to watch sometimes since I'm a skill guy, but he gets it done. And one thing you know about Coach Pitino is that he's going to teach his guys. He's going to have them tough. He's going to have them well conditioned, and they're going to get better throughout the season because he does something I would say that's unique for college coaches. He does individual instruction, which is a skill development program throughout the week with his players, separate from practice.
Yeah, old school, wearing a suit and tie still, you know, out there on the.
He's not going to get away from that. You know what I mean? He's not going to get away. Even when he was in Greece coaching Panathinaikos and I went out there to support him over there, he was still wearing a suit and tie. He just loves the game. I mean, 70-something years old with all that energy, you know, we should be kind of just in awe of him right now, of what he's doing with St. John's and turning that program. It's akin to when I went to University of Kentucky and turning that program around with him.
Well, you did. And now St. John's takes on Duke. Jamal, yeah. You know, I don't know if you heard what Pitino said after the game where St. John's knocked off Kansas on a buzzer beater, Jamal, right? Where he basically said maybe we could beat, you know, Duke at the buzzer. So he's not forgetting it either. What's your memories of that moment, Jamal?
I haven't forgotten it at all. I mean, a good friend of mine, Grant Hill, we remained friends because we were close when we were 13 years old and we started on the circuit together, him being Virginia, me being from New York. I haven't forgotten Grant Hill's pass I think it was the Spectrum. At the mm-hmm. time.
Yeah.
And one thing I do recall about that game, which kind of sticks with me in a good way, was that he had two Hall of Fame coaches in Mike Krzyzewski and Rick Pitino really take a step back and let the players play. And at a high level game, they didn't just insert themselves to call plays and different things like that. They managed the game and let the players play. I think a lot of people consider it probably the best college basketball game ever played. But from Coach Pitino's standpoint and St. John's, I hope he gets a victory. That's just my side of being in a relationship with him.
Yes.
But as an on-air analyst, it's going to be difficult, you know, looking at Cameron Boozer and everything that Duke does. They pretty much match up well against the front line of St. John's. And one thing that I'm going to be looking for is, can St. John's knock down a three-point shot? But they have to be careful of taking so many threes, because their advantage would be getting to the free throw line and rebounding on the glass.
Here's that soundbite I was referring to, Jamal. Check it out. Hit it.
You win some, you lose some, and I'm hoping we can get Duke at the buzzer next to make up for that Christian Leitner shot.
You know, it's...
That does something for him, but does nothing for me. You know? So I don't know how to feel about that. You know what I mean? But yeah. It's a, you know, I know he's a competitor and everything like that. You know, it's an interesting one. Put it like that.
Yeah. Do you relive it? If you don't mind asking me about reliving it, like where you would have guarded the inbound pass? You know, like what would you have done if you could go back and wave a wand right now? Jamal.
If I could go back, I probably wouldn't foul out of the game, first of all.
But it's number one, right?
Yeah, I would take that. And I would say if I didn't foul out of the game, we probably would have had a different outcome. And people fail to remember in that particular game, Christian Leitner was 10 for 10 from the field and 10 for 10 from the free throw line. And if anybody remembers anything about that era, the Duke team with Bobby Hurley, Grant Hill, and all those guys, they were reminiscent of the Chicago Bulls of college basketball. You know, it was a show that they put on in every venue that they came to, and nobody could touch Christian Leitner. There was no foul. You remember him stepping on Aminu Timberlake's chest? I thought he should have got ejected. I would have waved the wand on that one as well. You know, yeah. So even before the putting a man on bounds, if you look at Pelfrey and Feldhaus, they did not want to touch Christian Leitner at that particular time. I thought somebody should have played defensive back there and kind of gotten away of the pass. But you can see the apprehension in their body language of staying away from Christian Leitner, because he was the Michael Jordan of college basketball at that time.
Jamal Mashburn, TNT Sports, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Outside of Duke, St. John's, you got Michigan State and UConn in the same building as well. What a night that is going to be. How do you see that matchup playing out?
Well, you know what, with UConn, I kind of looked at, we covered them all year, because on TNT we have the Big 12 and also the Big East, and mm-hmm. So we've watched them throughout the time. My one question about UConn is, you know, are they going to be healthy? Silas Demery was limp around, the point guard there, but he played. How healthy are they going to be, and how deep can they be? And Michigan State, it's awfully hard to bet against Tom Izzo and what he's done. He seems like he's always there. I mean, rebounding, defense, and that kid Fears Jr. as a point guard, I really love the way he plays. He gets that team going with assists. I mean, he's a phenomenal player. So it's going to be a gritty rock fight, as they say, between UConn and Michigan State.
Well, as you mentioned, Jamal, the Big 12 on TNT all year long, Arizona, Houston, Iowa State remaining now. How many of those teams do you think make the Final Four? Because they are all in separate regions, Jamal.
So I have all year, ever since I saw Arizona in November, the eye test for me showed me that they're the best team in the country, and they follow suit throughout the year. I think that ultimately they win the championship. I think Houston would be in the Final Four. Arizona, and who's my next one here?
You got Iowa State taking on potentially my alma mater, Michigan, if they get past Alabama on Friday night, and Iowa State beats Tennessee.
I don't think Michigan. I think Michigan, and when I saw them out in Vegas in the Player Era Tournament, they just overwhelmed everybody throughout the course of that tournament. They were beating people by 30 points, just their sheer size with Yaxel. But I think Mara, the big 7'2 kid in the middle. But the guy that makes them go, in my opinion, is Elliot Cadeau. Mm-hmm. You know, if he's knocking down 3-point shots and not turning the ball over, Michigan is definitely going to be hard to beat. But I still like Arizona with their size and depth. They don't shoot the three often, but they defend the three well.
So you have them cutting down the nets in Indianapolis?
Yeah, Yeah, I had them cutting down the nets in November. When I saw them, they were just bigger than everybody. And I think the way they play in the offensive rebound and defensive rebound and paint points, they're more of a traditional basketball team that we remember in the past. And they can shoot the three with Braden Burris as a freshman, Koa Pete, Jaden Bradley, Big 12 Player of the Year. I think they have too much and too much experience, size and depth, and they can defend. So I have them winning the whole thing.
Who do you have them playing in the national championship game?
Man, I wish it was Michigan. If it could be, but I have them playing Duke in a national championship game, and maybe I get my revenge there. Maybe not a Kentucky Wildcat, but an Arizona Wildcat.
I don't know. I mean, like, just to cycle back, Jamal, I mean, Duke in the first two rounds of this tournament do not look like the Duke of even in that building when they were taking on Michigan in that neutral site contest back in February. They just don't look the same, and obviously they're not as healthy. Same thing with my school. Trust me, I watched that Vegas tournament you're referring to in December where they destroyed everybody. And it's, I don't know, again, they're not the same in terms of health, but everybody else in terms of competition. The thing that I think Michigan had going for itself is, despite being a new collection, Dusty May got them playing as a unit way before I think so many other programs were able to play as one. Now it's March, different story, Jamal. Yeah.
Dusty May, I got a chance to see him because I live in Miami, and I also see Florida Atlantic is close by up there in Boca. So I've watched him coach and really get a lot of big fellas, versatile big fellas, be able to pass the ball. He's one of my favorite coaches to watch. And also just personally getting a chance to spend some time with him. What a remarkable coach, thinks about the kids, thinks about the integration of this new transfer portal, which relationships matter at this particular point. He gets them to buy into a system and guys want to play there. And I just think Duke being a number one overall seed, and you have a Cameron Boozer in your lineup that can take over a game, and he takes it over in a different way. He gets free throws. And being in Miami, I got a chance to see Cameron Boozer at Columbus High School. He's been a winner throughout his whole career from high school to EYBL, Nike circuit. So it's hard for me to say that they don't reach the championship game with a player of that caliber and the supporting pieces that they have. I mean, they're top five in defense and top five in offense. And even though they haven't established themselves well in a tournament, it's all about surviving advance at the end of the day.
No doubt. No doubt. Before I let you go, Jamal Mashburn, a couple of way back questions for you. Your favorite Pat Riley story is what? What do you have for me on that front?
My favorite Pat Riley, positive or negative or somewhere in between.
Dealer's choice, man. Dealer's choice.
Pat Riley for me is, I'm a Miami Heat season ticket holder now. He reached out to me, I want to say probably about 10 years ago, and said, Jamal, I would love to rekindle our relationship. And he basically told me, he was like, Jamal, I just think I didn't coach you in the proper way. I was a little too hard on you. So my favorite Pat Riley story of him and myself really reconnecting as not player coach, but as men. He brought me back to the Heat organization. I still pay for my own season tickets because he knows how I am. Okay. I don't like to owe anybody anything. And but just his openness and how he's evolved in this particular stage of his life. And me and him sit down, we go to lunch and different things like that. Just his wealth of knowledge and how he sees the game and how relevant he still is in this new generation of basketball. So he's mellowed as time has gone on, as we all hopefully try to do. That's kind of my sticking point from Pat Riley. He taught me how to be a professional basketball player. He held me accountable, and still some of the teachings that he taught back then, I still live to this particular day. And that's the beauty of being around great coaches like Rick Pitino, Pat Riley, Paul Silas, Dick Motta. There are things that I still hold on to this in this particular life, that in lessons that they've taught me.
No kidding. And your all-star game appearance in 2003, you were going against a stacked team. That was a double overtime game, right? KG, and it was awesome. Kobe was on the other team. You got a good Kobe story from anything, Jamal.
You know what? Kobe was always kind to me. You know, I always liked Kobe's game. You know, Kobe for me was the second coming of Michael Jordan. If anybody could replicate Michael Jordan, it was Kobe Bryant. And then he had his own signature as well. Hard worker, tough, committed. You know, we all hear about the stories of the Black Mamba, but a lot of people don't understand. Really, those were his core values that made him an excellent player. It wasn't just the hard work. It was the attention to detail and working hard at those particular details. You know, we lost him too early. Mm-hmm. Well-respected and just a gamer. And I really loved his brain, essentially. You know, when you look at great players, sometimes you think of, do they really understand the game and can they communicate it to others? And Kobe could do that. And his storytelling, it would be remarkable if he was still alive where he would be at. He's my, even though he's reached his potential as a basketball player, I would say something akin to him as somebody who didn't reach their potential. And we thought, you know, what could he have been would be Tupac Shakur, essentially, you know, as an actor, you know. So Kobe's a special place in the game. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal person.
Yeah. He never stared you down. None of that stuff took you aside never happened.
He wasn't coming this way. You know, Rich, you got to remember he was a two guard. I was a small forward. He didn't want no part of the mid post. You know what I mean? So he would switch off. The guy that guarded me was Rick Fox, and I kind of torched him a little bit.
I like that. Okay. Pretty cool, man. Hey, Jamal, thanks for the time. Like I said, I really enjoy listening to you on TV, watching you on TV, and I do look forward to the next couple weeks to see how this all plays out.
Thanks, Richie. I've always been a fan of yours. I appreciate it, my
you
friend.
You bet. Oh, I just got one last one for you. What about a Stuart Scott story? You got a good stew?
You know, I did spend some time up at ESPN. I think it was right after I retired, a year after I retired. Right. And I remember walking into the studio, and you understand ESPN. It's like your first day you get thrown into the fire, and you're sitting across the desk with Stuart Scott on SportsCenter.
Yeah.
And just the way his what I was in awe was the things that he said that appeared to be on the fly. But he was actually so prepared that he made it look easy, you know. And I think a lot of people kind of get when they talk about, you know, greatness, it's like it's off the cuff. But it was just so easy. But the hard work that he put into it. And I've been around a lot of hosts who can't seem to go off script and bring it back home.
Right.
And but he was one that did it remarkably. He did it for that inspired me from the standpoint of really being yourself when you're on air and you can't be anybody else but that, and how he used cultural references and different things like that to insert and to teach people and to bring people closer. Really remarkable of participating with him. And I was just saw Mike Tirico. I think Mike Tirico is one of the best as well. Mm-hmm. I saw him the other day at the Heat Spurs game. He was calling that. But it's just being around people that highlight the game and do it in a particular way that educates you and makes you comfortable. It's almost like an invitation to their own party.
Well, I mean, looking at you here, you look the same. You got a little bit of gray here. Yeah. I've lost this up here, but you know, you being drafted. When you did, and then reaching the height in Dallas when you did, and then going to the Heat. Stu and I called your highlights nonstop on SportsCenter back in the day.
I appreciate that. You know? Rich, mine is by choice. You know what I mean? I can actually grow hair. You know what I mean? I refuse to go to a barbershop. I got too many other things to do.
Okay, I understand. You're a busy man. Yeah. But it's great to catch back up with you, Jamal Mashburn. And let's do this again real soon.
Let's do it. Looking forward to it. Thanks a lot.
You got it. That's Jamal Mashburn, everybody. Check him out on the various networks of Turner and everybody else. the rest of this tournament and beyond right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Yeah, man.
Ash.
Fun stuff right there.
That's great.
He's got Arizona cutting down the nets.
They have to argue right now.
Duke.
They look like the best team.
I don't know. Maybe St. John's takes Duke out. Maybe that happens. We have Carlos Boozer on tomorrow's program.
Excellent.
So we have him on. We've had Izzo on. And all these other, I don't know.
Who are we missing?
I think we got to get Alabama's coach on.
Yeah, but there's another team, man. They wear like maize.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm leaving him alone.
Blank hole.
All right, we'll take a break.
Rusty something?
North Carolina shot at shot, apparently. That's next. This is The Rich Eisen Show, everybody.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
ESPN is now the home of MLB.tv. If you have the ESPN Unlimited plan, you'll get a $15 discount on the 2026 seasonal MLB.tv package. And if you don't, no problem. When you sign up for MLB.tv, you'll receive a one-month free trial of ESPN Unlimited. Cancel anytime without losing your MLB.tv access. Get in on the action at stream.espn.com/MLBTV.
ESPN Unlimited auto-renews at $29.99 per month after free trial unless canceled. Blackouts and other terms apply.
Hubert Davis fired, essentially, by North Carolina, and they've already reached out to who, Chris, to see if he would like to back to coaching?
I saw a report that the University of North Carolina reached out to Brad Stevens.
Why not?
To see if he wants to get back in the game.
And the answer was, apparently?
No.
Yeah, I don't blame him. Why would Brad Stevens do anything other than what he's doing right now? The table is wired. Okay. Did you see Wilbon said he's going to vote for Jalen Brown for MVP?
I saw that. I was watching PTI yesterday. So
that's how well Jalen Brown is playing. Okay. And if they're so damn unbreakable in Boston that what would normally not only destroy a team the next year, but potentially set them back because the salary cap and the aprons and everything demands it. The Achilles injury that pops up for Tatum doesn't force them to break up the team because they have to financially do it, or it makes sense to financially do it to reset things while he's out. He's back, and they could still win the whole damn shooting match. Mm-hmm. That's how well constructed this roster is. In Boston, there's not even a whiff of get this guy out of here, ever.
No.
His car probably knows the route to work. At this point in time. And he doesn't go through the rigors of coaching to get on a plane? What the hell? Well, see, he's going to go back to recruiting.
Yes, yeah, recruiting, NIL,
all that. Get
all that
out
stuff,
of here with
thanks.
That noise.
No, thanks.
Speaking of getting out of here with that noise, the rule proposals for the NFL annual meeting next week, the owners will be voting on this in the National Football League. There's no tush-push rule this year.
Nope.
Out. Of consideration for being taken out
had their shot
of the game
last year.
And the reason why is the Eagles didn't beat everybody over the head with it. We'll see what happens next year if the Eagles come back and start using it such an effect that they start beating everybody's head in with it, and suddenly we'll be back at the table on that front.
Or another team.
I don't know. What other team is going to actually keep using it over and over and over again like the Philadelphia Eagles and not care what people are thinking or have the ability to do it?
We've seen Buffalo and Baltimore and Arizona to an extent.
Maybe. But. Well, Baltimore does it with their tight end.
Right, so does
Arizona does it so with their Arizona. Tight end. We're talking about a quarterback that can affect it. I guess Josh Allen is one, potentially. But sometimes, you know, again, so that's not even up for conversation. Two things that jump out at me is that the competition committee says for 1 year only, they will allow the NFL officiating department to correct clear and obvious misses made by on-field officials that impact the game. And they don't kind of list exactly what those are. But the last line of this rule change is what really jumps out at you, is that this is only going to take place in the event there's a work stoppage involving the game officials represented by the NFL Referees Association. In other words, if there's another stoppage with referees, there ain't going to be a fail Mary.
With replacement refs.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the NFL officiating department will essentially overrule the on-field officials in a way they wouldn't dare do to the current officials. So keep your eye out for that. A team can declare an onside kick at any time during the game now. Right now, I believe it's only in the fourth quarter. But the one that jumps out at me, too, is Cleveland wants to allow draft selections to be traded up to 5 seasons in the future, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I don't get your take on this.
Because it's stupid. Why would a team want to say, I'll take your draft choices 5 years in the future when you have no idea what the draft's going to look like and you're going to start trading draft consideration for somebody who's currently in high school? Really?
I don't think that's an issue at all. So what? The NBA does it.
Yeah, and it stinks. The NBA draft stinks in a way that the NFL draft does not. I don't want to turn it into that.
I totally disagree. The NBA draft stinks because casual fans don't know who any of the players are. The NFL,
that's number one.
The NFL draft is the best there is because everyone is a college football fan.
I got it.
These players stay 3+ years, and we all are familiar with who the stars are.
Yeah, but you also don't know who your draft choice is. I don't know. Do I have a draft choice this year, or did they trade it 4 years ago?
Well, that's on you to be a better fan. You think Oklahoma City is laughing at all the draft picks they have right now? No. They don't care. They are in the best position to succeed.
I understand that, but one's lottery protected, another one isn't this, that, the other thing, and then somebody puts a cap on their head after they're drafted, and you have no idea if they're on that team or not. It's a whole holy hell of a mess.
That's not going to be an NFL issue.
And I know
that's not
an NFL issue because they have their draft after free agency, not the other way around, where the new league year actually has occurred,
right,
and then
exactly.
There's a draft. All I'm saying, the last thing the NFL should do is NBA up their draft. That's number one. And number two is, you know, roster your team better. You shouldn't trade. So, and if you want to hire, let's just put it this way.
How many GMs are actually good at their job?
Like, how many?
This is always an issue.
Right.
Poor roster construction.
Right. And so you should not allow a team to trade something so deep into the future. It's just absurd.
You better GM.
Well, I'll tell you what is that if you do something like this, you're going to handcuff a team's ability to actually replace the GM that needs to be replaced or the coach that needs to be replaced. That is an absolute fact. I think this is ridiculous.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.